maneuvers.
Say you're going skiing, you need to get your skis out of storage. They won't just send them to your apartment and make you lug them on an airplane. They'll ship them right to the resort.
They also photograph your stuff and upload the images online. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
The key to success? Keep it simple, especially when it comes to hiring. And nobody makes it easier than Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, manage your candidates from one dashboard. According to an independent study, 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. New users claim your $50 credit to post a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable. It smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's
hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam for my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
The following program is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRV Radio, its management, or staff. This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk with Don Soa.
Taking care of business and working overtime.
With market insights and so much more, talk to Don now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Don Soa.
And we welcome you to the Money Talk program, everybody. My name is Don Soa, as the gentleman just mentioned. And we're delighted to have you here on Money Talk, and you're listening to the home of talking business right here in Southern New England, AM 790. If you have a question for me during the course of this program, feel free to give us a call. 437-5000 is the local number. The toll-free number, if you're outside the immediate area, is 888-345-0790. Let the producer know if you're driving or if you're safe to talk, and he'll instruct you on what's the best way to get to become part of the show. We're delighted to have you as part of that. You know, a lot of the questions, a lot of the topics that we offer on the Money Talk program over the last 26 years have actually been as a result of questions or ideas from our listeners. So don't feel that there are any stupid questions. There really aren't. It's amazing the number of people who are listening who would love to know the answers to the very questions that you have the personality and courage to ask. I mean, some people are just shy, and I get that. The funny thing about it was a lot of people will say, oh, well, I was going to call up and ask a question, but, you know, I was afraid that, you know, somebody would be listening and recognize my voice, and I don't want everybody to know about my money. But it doesn't really matter. Most people lie anyway. Most people tell us, oh, this is Frank from West Warwick, or this is Stewie from North Kingstown, or something like that, making up the names, and that's perfectly fine. But, you know, it's funny. During the course of this program over the last many years, we've had calls come in from guys out on fishing boats, you know, and I always wondered how the signal would come in over the water. And then an engineer explained it to me. They said, you know, on land, if it's a person coming north, they're going to be interfering with more powerful signals coming out of Boston. And the same would be true, I guess, going south towards Hartford and elsewhere. So there's going to be limits that a 25,000 or 50,000 watt station has in terms of the range that you would have. But for some reason or other, when you actually go east out over the water, there's very little, if any, interference coming in. Now, I've also had it explained. I try to understand it, but the idea that weather conditions will actually affect the signal as well, cold versus warmer weather. So certain times of the year, the signal is actually stronger versus weaker. So we learn an awful lot. But I did actually admittedly I have no reason to believe they were lying. Somebody was said that they were just off Montauk Point, which, of course, is the end of Long Island in New York. And he said, oh, yeah, you're coming through clear as a bell. Yet I've got people that are up in Braintree, Massachusetts, who couldn't hear the show. So go figure. But again, don't be shy. Feel free to give us a call. Our producer is just—he's a nice enough guy. He scares some people, but not everybody, you know. And I think deep down, he's a big teddy bear at heart. So feel free to let him know what your question is, and he'll get it through to me one way or another, or he'll put you on hold and get you on directly. Just let him know you're available and in a safe place to correspond. Today, the market was down a bit. Not much. It could have been worse. Large-cap technology shares continued to face some downside pressure. And when you get the big FANG stocks like Facebook and Alphabet, which is, of course, Google, Netflix, Apple, and a number of others, I mean, these are the biggest players in town. They're huge companies, and their stock is going to represent a distorted percentage of any index that they're part of, whether it's the NASDAQ, the S&P, or the Dow. The Apple is a component of Dow, and if Apple is down 1% or something, it's going to have a fairly substantial impact on what the Dow did at any given day. And there are other stocks that are other companies that are part of the Dow. Remember, for as big as it sounds, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, it's only 30 companies. But the Dow itself finished down 14. Apple did contribute most to those losses. But ultimately, the Dow was down more than 100 points earlier in the session. So I guess finishing down 14 is a pretty good result if over the course of the day it could have been much worse. The S&P dropped about 0.22% with information tech, again, leading the decliners. NASDAQ was down about 0.47% with the same result. Shares of the companies I just mentioned, Netflix and Alphabet, which is the parent company for Google, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, were all part of that. They all traded lower, and they were all responsible for the weakness in most of these indices that we're talking about. Alphabet shares also fell after being downgraded by analysts at CanAccord Genuity. Now, this is a great name, CanAccord Genuity. I love these people saying, well, a company's downgraded, so we should do something based on what they said. And I'll tell you, after all the years I've been in the financial services profession and doing radio and following these analysts all over the world, you'd think if I'd heard of the company that maybe it would be meaningful, but I suppose they have some significance. But technology has been on a tear all year long, with the S&P tech sector rising about 18% to easily outperform other industries. I mean, it makes some sense that somebody's going to take some profits at some point, right? But earlier this week, tech completed its biggest two-day decline since the month of December. It's happening right at the stage of the game. Whenever, people look for reasons to sell. They look for reasons to take profits. But one of the reasons they typically don't, or when you say, hey, they're looking to take some profits, but they're not doing it, usually it's because they believe the overall fundamentals support the market moving higher. And if they suddenly pull out to take profits at a time when the market ultimately is going to move higher, then they're going to miss out on that upside move of the market. And let's face it, they're very sensitive about missing out on upside opportunities, given that many of these professional money managers, whether they're hedge fund managers or others, are being judged based upon their performance, and they don't want to miss out on a major move in the market. Now, in a note to clients on Thursday, which is today, Jefferies strategist Sean Darby compared the technology stock run we're seeing right now, by the way, to the melt-up that occurred back in the late 1990s. Darby noted that both periods had declining inflation and very low rates, interest rates, alongside a thriving digital economy. But ultimately, that didn't end well, did it? Now, one of the things that did occur at the time, which was all over the news and maybe dominated the news in 1999, was the Y2K event, or non-event, I suppose we could call it that. But it was part of our conversation. A great many businesses, including my own business, back in 1999 as an investment advisory firm, we're SEC regulated. We're a registered investment advisory firm. And the SEC sort of dictates the kind of direction that its regulated firms are going to take based upon the types of questions that they tend to ask in their examinations, their audits. And back in 1999, one of the dominant elements of a SEC audit was what they call Y2K compliance. Yeah, remember at the end of 1999 at midnight, every computer out there, the clock that gauged or ran those computers was going to go suddenly to zero and wasn't going to be able to read anything. That was going to sort of cause a cascade failure in most computer-driven technology, whether it be broadcast technology. People were saying, "Hey, even big cars like back in those days, the Cadillacs and the Mercedes and the Continentals, all had computer systems in the engines." So the fear was that, oh no, you're gonna have these, you're gonna be cruising down 19, you're gonna be cruising down 295 or 95, and all of a sudden at midnight the car's gonna stop, and you're just gonna be dead. Well, how about if you're on a plane? There's a better one. you're flying around, you're coming in, you just took off from LaGuardia, or God forbid, maybe Reagan Airport. Wherever you just took off of, you're going to be in the air, and all of a sudden the computers on board that thing are going to go south and not be able to fly. The whole idea was the fear of everything changing motivated a lot of companies. And I imagine some of the companies I was talking about, airlines and many car companies and a number of others, were going in to put in place the technology fix. And what did I do? Well, just to show you, you know, that I'm human too. Well, we gave in to the concern about Y2K. We were probably about 3 years away from the cyclical turnover of our technology in the firm, which would have meant we would have been replacing computer systems and maybe even our telecommunication systems, our phone systems, within about 3 years. But I had not been budgeting for what is one of the more substantial expenses in an investment firm, which is our information and communications technology. But we decided during the course of that year, under some pressure, some of it real pressure, some of it not so real, that we would replace our technology. So we had a fully Y2K compliant office, our phone systems and computers and everything else all up to snuff, all up to speed, so that we wouldn't get shut down. But here's the problem. Yes, we are a telecommunications and information technology type business, but what happens if everybody else, if the people you are telecommunicating with or information communication with, if they are not up to speed? Well, your systems, no matter how up-to-date they are, aren't going to matter if the people you're trying to communicate with have the pre-Y2K type technology and their systems go down. Well, your systems may be up, but you're receiving no information and you're not making any contacts. So that was the problem, but a lot of companies decided to become compliant. The end result was a lot of money spent on technology at the end of 1999 and one of the most dynamic years in modern history for the stock market as a result. And, of course, we'll talk about what happened afterwards. I'm Don Sowie. You're listening to the Money Talk program. Thanks for tuning in to AM 790, your home of talk and business. This is Money Talk.
It's time for Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Say hello to the new frozen Dunkin' Coffee, real Dunkin' Coffee, blended frozen, creamy, and smooth. Try a small for $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary, limited time offer.
Busy but moving, that's the word. Is it coming in on 95 north and south from 37 up on the northbound side and from about Smithfield Ave down past 10 in Cranston on the southbound side? If you're coming in on 195 westbound, still kind of hung up as you get to Pawtucket Ave all the way through the lane shifts and into the split, leaving town. Those lane shifts slowing you down on 195 eastbound, 6 inbound heavy from Dean and Atwell's in. If you're leaving town on 6, still slow getting out to 10. I'm Rich Teeter with your right now traffic.
Sponsored by the Knee and Back Pain Helpline. Learn how an insurance-covered comfortable knee or back brace can reduce your pain. Call 800-888-KNEE, 800-888-KNEE.
Miracle Method has the answer to your ugly tubs, tile, and countertops. It's called refinishing. Whether a surface is worn out, damaged, hard to clean, or simply the wrong color, Miracle Method has the refinishing solutions to make it look and feel like new in just a couple of days at a fraction of the cost of messy remodeling. Call Miracle Method today at 401-751-0487 or log on to miraclemethod.com or just swing by the showroom to see our work and what we can do for you.
If you're planning to travel, consider this. You can catch the Zika virus from mosquitoes in places like Central and South America, the Caribbean, Puerto Rico, and Cape Verde, even Florida and Texas. Zika also spreads through sex and causes birth defects. If you or your partner are pregnant or planning to be, avoid places with Zika. If you do travel, avoid mosquito bites. Wear long sleeves and use insect repellent that contains DEET. Learn more at health.ri.gov/Zika. A message from the Rhode Island Department of Health and the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association.
Hi, my name's Bob.
Hi, Bob.
So I see this ad on TV. It says I can reduce my debt by 50%. So I call. They told me to stop paying my bills, stop talking to my creditors. It didn't seem right, but they said they'd take care of everything.
I gave them thousands of dollars, but most of it went to their fees.
Getting out of debt is neither quick nor easy. There are those who will tell you anything just to win your trust.
Sounded perfect. I did everything they told me to do.
They never paid my creditors. They didn't even contact them.
Turns out I'm even more in debt because the fees and the interest on my cards kept piling up.
Bad advice from so-called experts can make your financial situation worse.
And the bank turned me down for a mortgage. And that's when I realized my credit was shot. I should have gone straight to my creditors to begin with.
There is a better way to get help. Talk to your creditors directly or to find a nonprofit agency near you. Visit debtadvice.org. Debtadvice.org. Real solutions for real people. This has been a public service message.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-506-2909. 800-506-2909. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-506-2909.
Tune in every Monday from 4 to 5 for Common Ground. Hosted by John J. Tassoni, Common Ground highlights the positive contributions made by labor unions in the community. In addition to discussing issues vital to the labor movement, the show also covers pressing issues currently being debated in Rhode Island. Common Ground will feature a colorful array of guests. Common Ground is the voice of the union community. Common Ground, now every Monday at 4 on your station for talk and business, AM 790.
This is Money Talk with Dawn Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we are back. This is the Money Talk program, everybody. I'm Don Sowa. Glad to have you here with us during your drive time home. U.S. Central Bank hiked rates for a second time this year. No surprise, that's what we're expecting, as was widely expected. But the investors doubted the Fed's plans, at least some of them did. I guess we're continuing to digest the Federal Reserve's decision. But basically, they're looking to – the bigger thing is not so much what they're doing with raising rates. The bigger thing is – they plan to unwind their rather exorbitant $4.5 trillion balance sheet. Remember, since the end of the recession back in 08, early 09, part of the strategy by the Federal Reserve to grow and stimulate the economy and move us ahead was to bring down the cost of money to investors or to people who would be inclined to borrow money to grow their businesses or sometimes to purchase homes. One of the ways they did that was the Federal Reserve went into the open market and bought. They bought mortgage-backed securities and they bought U.S. Treasuries. By doing that, they were creating the market for those financial services instruments, and that pushed the value of the bonds and the securities higher. But at the same time, the dividend yield went down. So as the yield, the cost of money going went down, that meant mortgage rates, credit card rates, rates on commercial loans, and a number of other types of loans like car loans and elsewhere, they all came down. The inclination, the hope was that that would stimulate a lot of activity, businesses borrowing money, individuals borrowing money, individuals maybe refinancing their homes as well. And by refinancing the homes, that works because it brings you, all of a sudden your mortgage payments are lower. And that frees up capital. So maybe as consumers, you get out and spend a little bit more money. Well, you know, the economy, it worked, I guess, to some degree. We were growing at an average 1.8 to 2%, I suppose, over the last, you know, last 8 or 9 years, I guess. Not dramatic, but we're certainly, at least in terms of the Federal Reserve, they don't really feel that we are in a lot of pressure based upon inflation. But also, as we all know, we're not growing in a robust fashion. They're raising interest rates also on the money that they lend to their principal partners out there, the Federal Reserve banks. That's the Fed fund rate. And barely above 1% at this point. They may raise rates one more time this year. I've heard people say more, but I think, nah, maybe one more. See, they're a little reluctant. They don't want to raise rates too fast and tighten up the economy too much, remove too much accommodation during an economy that is really not growing in a very robust fashion. God forbid we should slide into a recession after all that effort. Now, the Fed, in terms of from a general perspective, was pretty much in line with what I think everybody was expecting, according to Eric Stein. He's global income co-director over at Eaton Vance investment firm. That being said, though, after a weaker-than-expected CPI, Consumer Price Index print, it may have seemed a little bit hawkish on behalf of the Fed to some people. On Wednesday, the Labor Department said that the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, a key measure of inflation, fell about 0.1% in the month of May. So it didn't even go up. It actually fell. The data dragged the benchmark 10-year note yield to its lowest level that we've seen in about 7 months. It had been floating around in that 2.2% range, the 10-year note, Treasury. And now it's yield hovering right in the 2.16 range now, below the 2.2. Stein added that he thinks that the Fed will start reducing its balance sheet sometime in the month of September, which means that the next rate hike may not actually come until December. Now, there was a lot of economic activity today, including some weekly jobless numbers, which came in right about 237,000. Those are the weekly jobless claims. The Philadelphia Fed Business Index hit about 27.6 in June, while the Empire State Manufacturing Survey reached 19.8. The numbers themselves probably don't mean a lot to most people. It's just a question of how much they've actually changed over a period of time. Now, most of the economic news that has actually surprised to the downside, but the Fed is still probably comfortable with raising rates at this point. So you got economic news that they track. They're looking at indicators to see just how much they can do in terms of reversing what has been ultra accommodative policy. At the same time, it seems like we've lost some of that leadership from the 6 to 7 high-flying stocks that are out there, the FANG stocks, which have been pretty much dragging. Look, most of the market's been sort of dragging along on the coattails of Facebook and Alphabet, which is Google, as well as Apple, as well as Netflix, and a number of others that fall into that tech category. Amazon.com also among those numbers. Many of these. Now, by the way, even with pullbacks that we've seen over the last course of this past week, in a lot of those big tech leaders, many of them are still double-digit, above 20%, 25% growth for the year so far. And when I say the year, remember something. We're only about 6 months into the year. So, those numbers, no matter how you look at it, are pretty impressive. So, I'm not looking in an overly sanguine look. I'm not in the doldrums over these key stocks. But they're important companies because even a company like Apple, it's a member of the NASDAQ. It's a member of the S&P 500. It's also one of the 30 Dow stocks. So when Apple has a bad day or a bad week, you're going to have almost every indices is going to be down and somehow affected by the decline of Apple. So you have to understand why markets do what they do. But, we also, on this particular program, on Money Talk, we look not only on the investment world and the world of the broad-based economy, domestic as well as overseas, but we also look at the ways in which consumers spend money. With such a large population of retirees already retired or on the verge of retiring, let's face it, those people born after 1946, this baby boomers, there's about 78 million of us out there. Now, quite a few are still working. I mean, I'm in my early 60s. I'm still working. I have no intention. But I'm one of those people. I own a business. I do what I love. I find the world of money and finance to be absolutely fascinating. Even after people can't believe it, but after 26 years on the air doing a nightly call-in talk show here in southern New England that deals with money and finance, I still find preparing a show and talking about these markets and chatting with you each night, I find it very, very interesting. I find it it doesn't lose its attraction. Now, I get some help now. I mean, my colleague, Steve Beauvais, he'll sit in with us many nights on Wednesday and Friday. He'll typically host the show. There have been many years when we hosted shows together. Now on Tuesdays, my daughter, Donna Soa Allard, who is herself a certified financial planner professional and an accredited investment fiduciary, all these fancy titles, we love that stuff. But she's, she goes from being just my protege to becoming, I'm going to have to be introducing her as a senior advisor at some point. I just don't want to hurt her feelings. But, we talk about these things because we think, I love the idea of doing something every day that's important. And I know that there's a lot of people who I talk to each day in person as well as here on the radio who would say that, the things that we're discussing, these issues, they're really, really important. And they're about not just about money. They're not just about greed or the direction of specific markets. They're about people's lives. And, you know, in the next half of the show, over the course of the second half of tonight's show, I'm going to be talking about some of the really terrible ways people spend money, especially in retirement. I mean, you get a Social Security check. A lot of people, that Social Security check is critically important to the cash flow that they have and the and whatever level of independence they may have now that they're in retirement. We would love for Social Security to be a less important piece of the lifestyle pie that retirees have, but I've discovered more and more cases where people will say, geez, you know, that check I get from Social Security is half of my money, or maybe more than that. The comfort level is that it should be probably a third of your income normally or less. You know, that's really what we'd love to see, but it doesn't typically happen that way. So no matter how you look at it, the way you spend every penny you receive, whether it's a part of a pension, whether it's Social Security, or whether it's money that you are deriving from, you know, from your investments, your savings, you know, we have to make sure that you're spending every single penny as prudently as possible. So in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about some of the ways, well, some things you should avoid, some of the mistakes people make in terms of things they're spending money on that they don't have to once they get into their retirement years. So I'm Don Sowa. This is Money Talk. We'll be right back. So please stick around.
Minutes of physical activity a day and eating well can help get your child healthy. So keep them active and eating well every day. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov. That's letsmove.gov. A message from USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
This is Amy from Moriarty's Fence, the Invisible Fence brand pet safety experts. The Invisible Fence brand works for all dogs, all breeds, all ages. We start training puppies as young as 10 to 12 weeks old, and we also keep cats safe at home, too. The key to our 27 years of success is our customer service and pet training support. Our installed outdoor safety solutions start as low as $7.99 and can be customized for your property. Call 800-225-0808 for a free design and pet consultation visit, or schedule online at MoriartysFence.com. At Moriarty's Fence, we work hard so you can rest easy knowing your pet is safe at home.
But it just makes sense.
And it's invisible.
It's the fence that makes sense. Get the invisible fence.
Moriarty's Fence, 800-225-0808. Keeping pets safe since 1986. Moriarty's Fence reminds you to support your local shelter, adopt, volunteer, donate.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-91-BIBLE.
This is Charles Huskey. Olivet Nazarene University believes that an education unlocks a person's potential. They believe an educated person has a positive impact on his or her community. They believe that education is not something to be contained, but imparted to the world. They believe in you. Learn more at graduate.olivet.edu. Olivet Nazarene University. Where you are to where you will be.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we welcome you back to the Money Talk program, everybody. I'm Don Soa. During the course of the break, a gentleman called in and asked a question about reverse stock splits. It was sort of like, you know, what's the good, bad, and ugly of that? Is it really good for a company? Is it bad? Well, a reverse stock split will boost a company's share price. The higher the share price is usually, you know, good, but the increase that comes from a reverse split is mostly a bit of an accounting trick. The company isn't any more valuable than it was before the reverse split. However, whatever value it has, just distributed over fewer shares, you know, of the stock, those increasing in price. So a reverse split can sometimes be a sign of a problem for the company, the underlying company overall, but there's a rationale behind it. Companies pull off reverse splits to keep their stock price out of the cellar. You know, penny stocks are stocks that trade under $10 a share. In part, yes, looking at the price of the stock may be for aesthetics or public relations. A stock price in the pennies to a few dollars range, it doesn't look very, very good. But there are also some practical reasons. To remain listed on a major stock exchange, I mean, if you want your stock traded and people buying or selling, you want none of those, you want activity in the shares you have out there, you have to be trading on a major exchange. A company usually has to actually maintain a stock price above a certain level, at least a minimum of $1. Sometimes the exchanges have even higher breakdowns. Back in 2009, for example, financial giant American International Group, AIG, it was in danger of being pulled off the New York Stock Exchange when its stock price fell below $2. The solution was a 1-for-20 reverse split that actually boosted the price of the stock above $20 per share. In 2011, Citigroup executed a 1-for-10 split that took the stock price, you know, its stock price around $4.50 a share to about $45, literally overnight. Now, really, Charles Kaplan, who's the president of an investment consulting firm, he told analysts out there that it is usually a very negative sign when a company reverse splits its stock, but how the market reacts often depends on what else the company is doing to reverse its fortunes. They're trying a number of things, including the reverse split. Bring the stock price up to a level where it can be traded on certain exchanges, so that will bring stock activity. There's also a number of private investors, including endowments, that actually have rules about buying what they call penny stocks. There are a number of universities or other entities out there that invest hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, but they may have built into their charters that they're not allowed to buy penny stocks or stocks priced below $10. So if you are a company that would like your stock to be included with some of the, or if you don't want your stock excluded because you're down at $3 and $4 a share, you may do something like a reverse split, which may bring you up to a higher level and thus qualify to be included with certain investment programs. Now, if it simply declares, as companies go, you know, the reverse split and goes on with business as usual and doesn't do anything to improve the company and improve the problem that may have caused the stock price to go as low as it did, investors may see the split as nothing more than a smokescreen, like I said, an accounting transaction. And the price may actually go right back to falling back to where it was when it was a penny stock or below. So the reverse split didn't really help. But if the split is accompanied by some serious changes in management, some structural or strategy type changes, investors may actually give the company more time to actually right the ship. And now at the higher level, the investor may be inclined to either keep the shares, keep the price, or actually buy more of them because of the efforts the company is making to improve not only its company corporate management, but to improve its shareholder value. And a reverse split is, in fact, all about shareholder value. Again, so the question about is it a good thing for a particular company to do that, it's going to depend an awful lot on, you know, what the corporate reason, the company's reason was for actually doing the reverse split in the first place. I was talking in the last segment about mistakes that people make. It's one thing to plan for what kind of income you're going to have. It's one thing to look at things like Social Security, perhaps a small pension, or other sources of dependable income as what you live on. Now, we talk about that in financial planning, of course, and certainly here on the Money Talk program all the time. But I think that if you are not also accompanying the discussion of sources of income with a discussion of how you spend the money and are you spending it prudently, not foolishly, then you're likely to set yourself up for, well, not just disaster, but at least for disappointment. Social Security is the backbone of American retirements. As of 2016, December, more than 41 million people were receiving Social Security retirement benefits with an average monthly payout of about $1,360 per month. However, Social Security really was never designed to replace a worker's pre-retirement income in its entirety. I have always said it was a supplement to your other sources that you've earned over a lifetime of work. Ideally, this benefit should comprise maybe 40% of the income for workers with average earnings, no more than 40%, with the rest of the funds coming from, like I said, other sources like 401ks. Because Social Security has a relatively meager payout by standards, it's important for anybody who's going to be supplementing and living on these resources that you budget carefully and avoid spending your Social Security checks in a frivolous way. So stay away from certain mistakes, certain things that are issues. And, of course, that would mean once you get into retirement to understand that you are now retired. You no longer have a regular biweekly paycheck. You don't have the ability to get a raise in any meaningful way. The raises you may get from Social Security and other sources are going to be meager, small, and many times they're going to be eaten up by the added cost of your Medicare premiums. So learn to live prudently and thoughtfully in terms of the way you spend money. That probably means avoid vices. Retirees should avoid spending Social Security money on vices like gambling. I wonder how many people actually get their Social Security check and run down to Mohegan Sun or Foxwoods. Well, if you want to really know, then look right around the first week of each month, the first weekend, and look in the parking lot. There's a parking lot that's on the route over to, say, Foxwoods off 95. And what do you see? You see it seems like miles and miles of yellow school buses with names of various churches on the sides of them. Well, those are all the buses that take seniors down to Foxwoods on that weekend. For one thing or another, and I'm sure there's all kinds of deals over at Foxwoods, including a chit for the buffet that they have for you to come in. But I talked to somebody who actually worked in the cashier's area for a major casino, and he said that it's pretty sad. He says that they are the largest casher of Social Security checks in southern New England. That's the cashier's desk at Foxwoods. How do you like that? Amazing. Oh, God, I hate to even think about it, but that's safe. There's reality there. But, you know, that doesn't mean that you can't have fun. As long as you have an appropriate emergency fund in place, I mean, I know people who their mindset is simple. Yeah, go down there, get the free lunch, take the day off, go down, take, say, 20 or 30 bucks, put the rest of the money away, hide it, and then go over to and buy whatever you want to buy and start running the one-arm bandit or whatever it is that you like to have. But when you're going through your $20 or $30, maybe you get lucky and you make a little bit of money and you keep playing. That's fine. You're not really there because you think you're going to make a killing. If that's the idea behind it and you think that you're going to beat the system of inflation that you're dealing with as a senior by winning big winnings up at the casino, then that's probably pretty short-term thinking, pretty short-sighted thinking. As long as you have, like I said, appropriate money put aside for the things you know you need, then you can spend a little bit of that check on some of these other things. Now, for some people, that might mean enjoying a night at the casino, cracking open perhaps a bottle of wine or whatever. Others might, get some enjoyment from a little bit of travel or maybe even being generous to your grandchildren. There's lots of things you can do, some of which may give you just as much joy as the one-armed bandit. Now, the other thing that we have to worry about, and this is as you get into retirement, where you know that you're living, the term fixed income must mean something to you. Well, now you're on a fixed income. That means that the last thing you want to do on a fixed income is max out your budget. You don't need to be doing that. I mean, as a matter of fact, you have to be learning to become disciplined in retirement because you have fewer resources to pay down debts from if you start to build those debts up again. Part of what we try to do as you get closer and closer to retirement is to start focusing on aggressively paying down, especially expensive debt like credit cards and elsewhere. If you can get out of your working years with no mortgage and limited or no credit card debt, and if you're using a credit card, only use it to the extent that you can pay it off monthly, well, that's fine. But ultimately, in the end, don't let debt service start to strangle your ability to live comfortably in retirement. A regular Social Security check shouldn't be encouraging you to put money on the credit card. Instead, determine how much you can actually safely draw from your investments, and then add that number to your Social Security benefit. You're thinking of Social Security as a dependable source of income. The goal is to refrain from going over the combined amount. Try to pay your fixed expenses with your dependable sources of income, like perhaps a small pension or Social Security, and then use the money that you get from your savings and investments that you draw out in a thoughtful, prudent fashion. Use that for your discretionary spending, your lifestyle choices. So you avoid irresponsibly using these benefits on things that you really don't need. Plan how you'll spend that Social Security check a number of different ways. Now, some of the things you got to think about in terms of thoughtful spending deal with maybe paying too much money for prescription drugs. I mean, by the time you're receiving Social Security checks, medical expenses are virtually a given. I mean, we know that among the things that don't represent traditional inflation here in this country are things like food and medical expenses. In fact, seniors age 65 to 79 average more than 27 prescriptions for new drugs annually, according to the IMS Institute for Health Care Information Services. Fortunately, every Medicare plan with prescription drug coverage, which you should investigate immediately as you're approaching your Medicare requirement age, every one of those plans must offer at least two drugs in each category and class. So if you have Medicare, if you're on Medicare, you should be able to avoid paying high out-of-pocket costs for your prescription drugs. Now, if you're currently taking medications that aren't covered by insurance, talk to your doctor about finding alternatives that may treat the same condition that are covered by your plan. And your plan is probably going to be looking more at the generic drugs as opposed to mainline prescription drugs that are in that high cost category. Folks, I'm Don Sowa. You're listening to the Money Talk program, talking about fruitful, thoughtful, prudent spending of that income that you have once you're on fixed income in retirement. I'll be right back.
It's time for Dunkin' Donuts Regional Traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Say hello to the new frozen Dunkin' Coffee, real Dunkin' Coffee, blended frozen, creamy, and smooth. Try a small for $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Well, 95 northbound heavy from 37 up into town right now. That's due to a crash by Broadway that's got things backed up for you. Coming in on 95 southbound heavy and slow out of the S-curves. Stays that way down past 195. Picks up again around 10 in Cranston. Gets slow again by 295. 37 west, you're slow getting over to 295. 146 from Branch Avenue, you're heavy there. From 10 in, you're slow on 6 eastbound. I'm Rich Teeter with your right now traffic.
Brought to you by the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline. Attention diabetics, with insurance, you may qualify to get your testing supplies at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call 800-808-5181.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something, and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text.
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. So many comments on my comment.
Hey, guys, check out my new video game.
Mom, what?
Huh?
Pew, pew.
What'd you say?
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-91-BIBLE.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
This is Money Talk with Dawn Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
We're back with the Money Talk program talking about, well, prudent spending once you actually retire and move into that world of fixed income management. One of the biggest expenses people have in their lives going on is, of course, their home. Now, even if in retirement you've gotten to a point where you've already paid off the mortgage, so yeah, the P&I, the principal interest payment, is gone. But, you know, larger homes, the home that you raised your kids, your family in, the nest, you know, that whole thing. Is it really wise, is it prudent, is it necessary for you to stay now that you're empty nesters and the kids have moved on? But you still have expenses like the maintenance, the utilities, the landscaping, the insurance, the other elements of that large house. The utilities can be a big part of that too. Perks, honestly, such as being in a great school district, does that really matter to you anymore now that the kids are grown up and gone? But you can think about, instead of downsizing, let's call it right-sizing your home, that benefits your needs and, quite frankly, benefits your budget. So you might want to consider looking to where your children and grandchildren now live and moving into perhaps a smaller or perhaps home or even a condo. It may make more sense. There's less headaches and maintenance for you and saves you a lot of money. So, I mean, that can be a big issue. I've heard all the arguments why people don't do it. So, you know, I get it. But I just like people to know that you shouldn't find yourself complaining about your tight spending in your budget when you're living in the, shall we call it, the homestead that you raised your entire family in. That may be a problem. Now, another thing, you might be paying too much. I'm assuming you're still driving once you get into retirement. You got more time on your hands. You may want to be doing some trips, day trips, different things. But paying too much for car insurance can be a problem, especially if you drive an older car. Paying for collision and comprehensive coverage on a vehicle with some years on it can be a serious waste of your Social Security money, especially if we're talking about that particular check. Experts often advise dropping the comprehensive and collision coverage on your car when the potential payoff in the event of an accident is less than, say, 10 times the annual premium that you're paying for those two primary coverages. For example, if your car is worth, say, $3,000, but the comprehensive and collision portions of your insurance costs about $500 annually, you should really consider dropping those particular options to save money, because in the end, if you get into an accident and the car is even totaled, you're going to get so little from the insurance company on it that it really isn't worth what you're actually spending to have that insurance coverage. Now, if you're looking for life insurance to cover, say, final expenses such as funeral costs, also you might be enticed by what we call guaranteed acceptance policies, because you don't have to submit records or go through medical exams to qualify. Although this type of plan can save you a little bit of time, you'll likely pay a higher price than if you actually choose a policy that required some level of underwriting. I mean, you see a lot of these commercials on TV for how much insurance coverage you can get. No medical required. That's a guaranteed acceptance policy, and they can be more expensive than you think. It's especially true if you are healthy. If you're healthy, despite your age, you may find that if you go through underwriting, overall the amount of insurance coverage you can get and the cost of it may be more manageable than you think. It may be a better deal than the guaranteed acceptance coverage. Instead of accepting the first offer you get, take the extra time to go through the underwriting process and find out how much you can actually save. There are online services that will help you shop around to different insurance companies. Now, if you qualify for a lower rate based on your health, you can actually save on life insurance costs and keep more of that Social Security check that you worked a lifetime to earn, right? Now, we've talked about the concept of abuse, scams, financial abuse. We've done it before on this show. seniors lose about $36 billion to financial exploitation every year, according to a 2015 study by TrueLink, which is a San Francisco-based financial services firm. That figure includes not only criminal activity, such as scammers demanding money while posing as IRS agents or a creditor somehow, a collection agency that you owe to, but also exploitation by businesses or even some charities that try to get seniors to part with their hard, much-needed cash. Friends, relatives, and trusted monetary advisors, we hope, also take financial advantage of seniors on occasion. It's sad when you find out a family member is responsible for, you know, taking money from a relative who doesn't know any better, but who's also trusting. To reduce your odds of falling victim to a scam, please be careful about sharing your financial information with a lot of people. Beware of anyone, especially family, friend, or salesperson, who tries to pressure you into any kind of a decision. Most decisions you make about money do not have to be made today. You shouldn't be worried about the limit or, oh, this deal will only last through 5 p.m. today. That's nonsense. When in doubt, you should turn to people who have earned your trust over time. And by the way, there are, you know, called the Department of Elderly Affairs, a number of consumer advocacy groups out there. They will help you. They probably are familiar with scams that you may be dealing with right now. Tell them what's happening to you. They may say, oh, we're familiar with this one. Now, another thing, claiming your Social Security benefits too soon. Because you've reached the minimum age to claim retirement benefits, currently 62, it doesn't mean you should do it. Now, we've talked about it. Donna Allard, my daughter, and I have talked about it on the Basics program. Claiming your Social Security benefit before you reach your full retirement age, which is about, depending upon how old you are now, 65 to 67 years old, it can end up costing you some money. In fact, if your full retirement age is 67, claiming your money at 62 would cost you about 30% of the benefit that you were eligible to receive at full retirement. Now, if you wait until age 70 instead, your monthly benefit could increase by up to 8% for each year that you've waited past your full retirement age. It can be substantial dollars. And if you're going from, like I say, 67 up to 70, for example, in this case, you know, you could be adding another 25% above what your full retirement benefit would have been. And then now looking back at 62, it's even smaller. So claiming your benefits at the earliest possible age isn't always a great idea. But you know, you should carefully weigh your Social Security options so impatience doesn't cause you to cash out your Social Security checks too early. Now, talk to your financial advisor. If you don't have one, find one. Maybe your adult children are working with a professional who will, maybe doesn't have to meet with you, but may answer questions for you through your kids. Don't be shy. There's no stupid questions. Even here, no stupid questions, certainly here on Money Talk. I'm Don Soa. Have a good night. Tune in tomorrow, 5 o'clock. Steve Bovee will be here for more Money Talk. Have a good night in the meantime.